Okay. Now, as is normal for me, the inspiration for this Share My Yoke came from a song, which we're going to listen to right at the end. But it's also based on the verse of scripture from the Gospel of Matthew. And it's this: "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now we're going to break that down a little bit, and we'll break it down into four different sections. But before we do, we're going to watch a very, very short video clip all about dung beetles. Okay?
If you look up dung beetles on Wikipedia, you'll find that there are three ways these guys like to deal with dung. Some of them are rollers, and they roll up the dung in a big ball and carry it around with them wherever they go. Others are tunnelers, and they bury the dung. They dig a deep tunnel and they hide it away until a later point. And then finally there are dwellers, and these guys, they just live in the dung. The dung becomes their home and they don't go anywhere else. And all of this, rather than being a slightly interesting fact, it actually reminds me of how we deal with problems. Sometimes we carry our problems around on our back. We roll them into a ball and we take them with us wherever we go. And they affect everything. They tire us out, they wear us down. Or maybe it's an extra responsibility that you're worried you can't cope with. Maybe it's something longer term like grief. Whatever it is, you carry around and it tires you out. Other times we might bury the problems, ignore a few text messages, pretend that on the surface everything is fine. But underneath it all, the same problems still exist, and they might only be getting worse when left unattended. And sometimes it feels like we're living in our problems. They surround us, they're all we can see, they're all we can think about. And maybe that's sadness or guilt or fear. But you can't see through it, you can't see past it. And all of this is tiring, and life feels like one giant problem-solving exercise. Like when you solve one problem, the next one's just there to greet you. And our dung beetle-style coping strategies, they get shown to be useless in the end. They fail, because if you roll up your problems and carry them around, you get worn out. And if you tunnel them away, they come back to bite. And if you dwell in them, then it all gets too much and you can't cope. And you feel like giving up. But Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest for your souls." And that's the problem with these burdens. They don't tire you out physically or even emotionally, maybe. But they wear you out at the core of your being. And Jesus says, "I will give you rest for your souls." And in the end, that's the only coping strategy that's going to work.
I thought that was quite a poignant video clip. And it tells us a lot about how we do and don't handle things. Now, we are more like dung beetles than you might imagine. But we'll leave that point there. Let's break this scripture down into the four points. And they all start with the letter I. So the first one is invitation. "Come to me," Jesus says, "all of you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens." And the insurance, Christ says, "I will give you rest." And then the instruction, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." And finally, the incentive, because Christ says, "I am gentle and humble in heart, and you find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then we'll finish with in a nutshell, which is just another way of saying to summarise or to conclude, but I wanted to keep the letter I going. And hopefully by that point we'll wrap everything up and we'll come to a positive decision process. So the first one, invitation. I want to just give you a little bit of background as to why Christ said this particular passage. And at that time, the people of Israel were really weighed down by all the rules and regulations that the Pharisees were imposing on them. And did you know that the Pharisees translated the law into 365 prohibitions and 250 commandments? And there is one commandment that the Pharisees added over 600 regulations. And that was just about what qualified as working on the Sabbath day. To me, that is a really heavy burden. And rather than freedom, these rules brought about oppression. And people began to feel a sense of failure because they couldn't keep up with the level of rules and responsibilities that were being imposed on them. And so it's in the middle of this religious setting that Christ comes and he says, come to me. That's all it takes. Lay aside all the trappings of the law and the religious rules that you're being asked to do. Don't worry about those. Don't worry about your agendas. Just come to me. And I don't know what you imagine when you see that picture there, but I wouldn't imagine there's very many of you that would try and carry a load like that, where you couldn't see where you were going and where it was likely to topple over you and injure either you or somebody else. To carry a physical load like that, I would imagine that most of us would use our common sense and either break it down into smaller loads or ask somebody for help. But how often do we try and carry unseen burdens like this? And there's another picture. Many unseen burdens can exceed our strength to carry them alone. And we end up staggering like this person in this picture, or like the dung beetle that carries the load upon his back. And because the burdens are unseen, we often don't even think to ask for help. And so enters Jesus. The law says you need to try harder. But Christ starts with the invitation, come. It's the first word of this promise, come. It's a very simple word, but it's very full of meaning. Because to come is to leave something behind and to move into something new. Now, it has been said that Atlas, with this heavy load of the world upon his back, had a light load compared with a sinner upon whom rests sin and God's judgment. Jesus invites us to come, to let go of our sin and to let him lift its burden from us. For those who don't know Christ, it's a call to believe in him. For those of us who do, it's a call to follow him as a committed disciple. A call to turn our lives over to him. And it's a reminder that when we first came to know God, he said, come to me, look on me, and live. The Pharisees basically said, obey our system and keep all our rules. But the Lord says, come and bring your burdens to me. It's not a call to a program. It's not a call to a system of religion. It's not even a call to a church. It's a call to a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. If you're weary this morning, if you feel like you're carrying all the weight of the world on your shoulders, then come and see what Christ has to offer you. Bring everything that you're struggling with to Christ. He's not worried about how heavy they are, for he has already borne the weight of the world. When we invite others to come to Christ, we don't invite them to come in and to be like us. We don't invite them to come and dress like us, to sing like us. We invite them to come to Christ and to look upon him as the true example. We invite them to come and have an intimate relationship with Jesus. His identity is the only identity we should seek to follow. When we reach out to Christ, we find that personal relationship with him that enables us to then take the insurance that he offers us. Now, I love that picture. For me, that just shows complete rest, complete security in his surroundings. I'm not sure I could lie on a bench, the branch of a tree like that, but it just shows you how relaxed he is in his surroundings. And that is where Christ wants to take us. When Christ invites us to come to him, he doesn't just stop there. He goes on and tells us why. And the why is that he wants to give us rest from the heavy burdens that we're trying to carry. When Christ says, "I will give you rest," he is once again stating that this is a personal relationship with him that provides that rest for us. And I looked in the English dictionary for the definition of the word rest, and it came up with two definitions. The first one is to stop doing a particular activity or stop being active for a period of time in order to relax and get back your strength. And the second one is to lie or lean on something or to put something on something else so that its weight is supported. Now, both of these statements can be interpreted as being part of Jesus' statement. When we come to Christ, we stop everything that we're doing and we give it to Christ. He then gives us rest in order that we get back our strength. Think about when you've gone away on holiday. Why did you go? You probably went for rest, for recuperation, for your body and for your mind. I want you to just imagine yourselves lying in a hammock, lovely soft breeze, warm sunshine, and you just lie there and you allow the sun to warm your whole being. Now, when you come back from that, you don't come back worse off than when you went. You come back feeling rested, relaxed, and ready to pick up again what you left behind. Now think about Christ's offer. He says, "Come and I will give you rest. Bring to me everything that is bothering you. Give it to me, and in place of it, I will give you rest and peace." And also, when we come to Christ, we lean on him so that the weight is supported by Christ. In our weakness, we use Christ's strength to help us face life. But in that first statement, it said, that you stop doing something for a period of time. That little bit doesn't apply when we look to Christ. Because when we bring our burdens to Christ, we leave them at the foot of the cross. We don't pick them back up again after we've had our rest and walk away with them. We need to let go completely if we want Christ to really help us. How many of you have taken out an insurance policy? Probably all of you for something or another. Now, an insurance policy is a contract signed between two parties, the insurer and the insured. In exchange for an initial payment known as the premium, the insurer promises to pay for any loss covered under that agreement. Now, the Bible is our insurance policy, where God promises to give us rest on the condition that we come to him and give him our heavy burdens. And in place of those burdens, he offers us an alternative, which brings me to my third point. Instruction. Take my yoke on you and learn from me. Do you not find it strange that when Christ says, come to me and bring me your heavy burdens, he then offers to give us another burden in exchange for it? Wouldn't you naturally expect him to say, give me your burdens, and then you can walk away empty-handed, free of your burdens? But that's not what Christ says. Christ offers rest by asking us to share in his burden. His solution of the problem is to offer us a yoke. Christ never promised to remove our burdens altogether. But what he did promise was if we take his yoke upon us, he shares that burden with us. I want us to just look at what a yoke is. So there you see a picture of two oxen with a yoke attaching them together. Now, the yoke is a beam carved from a single piece of wood, and it's fitted to the ox's shoulders, maximizing comfort and pulling force. The strap or the bow around the neck is attached to pegs to secure it to the yoke, and the hitch point in the middle connects the yoke to what's going to be pulled. And because it's in the middle, it means it's equally balanced between the two oxen. And the purpose of the yoke is to harness the two oxen together so that they can drag the load as efficiently as possible. What it doesn't show you from that picture, because those two oxen are exactly the same size, is that a yoke can be custom made to allow yoke of different sizes to still pull together comfortably for both of the oxen. Also, what you need to know is that if one oxen tries to lie down, it won't work. They both have to be stood up, or they both have to lie down. As Christians, we're yoked together with Christ. And the yoke that Christ gives us is balanced perfectly to take account of our weakness and his strength, so that combined, we pull the weight together. Christ also says, learn from me. And the idea of learning is to acquire a habit through practice. Christ calls us to a changed life, transformed through an intimate relationship with him. When we yoke ourselves together with Christ, he does the leading and we do the following. but we become one in everything that we do. At the beginning, I said that these words came from a song that I've known for years. And we're not going to listen to it just now, but what I wanted to do was just show you the words of the chorus, because they fit really nicely with what we're saying here. Share my yoke and find that I am joined with you. Your slightest movement, I shall feel and be there too. Share my yoke and come the way that I must go. In our togetherness, my peace you'll know. And the world beholding us will see it so. The yoke that Christ offers us is to be joined with him, to share everything, and to know his strength and his guidance in everything. And so we move on to our fourth point, and this is the incentive that Christ provides for us when we take up the offer of sharing his yoke. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What's lovely about this particular part of the scripture is it tells us something about the person of Jesus Christ. He's telling us that he's gentle and that he's humble. What he was trying to say was, the yoke of the world is very unwieldy. It's very dominating, and it's not balanced. But because Christ is gentle and humble, and he knows us inside out, we don't need to fear the yoke that he offers us. I want you to listen to a story now. Back on the ranch where I grew up, my dad and I used to break horses to ride, and then we would train them for various tasks according to their abilities and breeding. Always, the first thing we did was gain their trust. Only then could we train them to rein, to turn, to stop, to back up, to follow a calf, and to stand quietly. Some were trained as cutting horses, some as roping horses. But first, there was the process of gently caring for them. We brushed them, trimmed their hooves, fed them, and halter broke them, so that we could then lead them from one place to another. We would often tie the younger horse to an older and stronger horse, and lead it around the corral, just like you can see in the picture. And only then, when they were confident with us, we would then step up and into the saddle. Often the horses didn't like the new conditions because it scared them and they liked their freedom. But in time, through the gentleness of the trainer who loved the horse, and through the example of the older horse, they became trained and learned to love what they did. It was a yoke fitted for their abilities and their natural instincts. And so our Saviour has promised us, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's tailor-made for each one of us. A yoke is a way to unite two individuals together so that they can pull together. When we are working with Christ side by side, we are yoked together and he shares our burdens with us. To take Christ's yoke upon us means to trust him, to submit to him, to put ourselves under his leading and to join ourselves together with him. There you can see a picture of two oxen that are not equally aligned. And this is a story, another short story, where a farmer was ploughing with a team of oxen, and somebody was driving by and happened to see that these oxen were unaligned. And he said this: "As I saw this team, I was somewhat amazed, for one was a huge ox and the other a very small bullock. The ox towered over the bullock that was sharing the work with him, and I was amazed and perplexed to see a farmer trying to plough with two such unequal animals. And I commented on the inequality to the man with whom I was riding. He stopped his car and said, 'I want you to notice something. See the way those traces are hooked to the yoke. You will observe that the large ox is pulling all the weight. The little bullock is being broken into the yoke, but he's not actually pulling all the weight.' Can you see now why Christ says to us, 'Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy'? In normal yoking, the load is distributed equally between the two that are yoked together. But when we are yoked to Christ, he bears the load, and we who are yoked with him only carry what God knows we are capable of." And there was something else that occurred to me this morning while we were singing that final song. And you said, he'll never let us go, never let us down. If we're yoked and we slip, Christ is there. We can't fall any further than the yoke will allow us to fall. And so, in a nutshell, let's pull together everything that we've talked about this morning. Firstly, Christ calls us to serve, but we serve in the strength which he gives. The Pharisees demanded that the people obey the law. By comparison, Jesus offers us a shared yoke, which is a better fit, it's kinder, it's gentler, and it's more useful than the Pharisees' harsh, judgmental stance. Secondly, Christ is always there beside us, pulling the weight for us, if only we will yield our lives to him. The only time that load becomes overbearing is when we try to take over and try to pull or handle the load ourselves. How many of us have responded to Christ, but when he seeks to slip that yoke across our shoulders, we resist and we back off? When we refuse to truly listen and submit to his word and acknowledge his authority, we really refuse to trust in his gentleness and his goodness. Thirdly, we often look at that yoke and we think it won't fit. But in reality, it is designed perfectly for us. It is designed to make us like Jesus, but it's tailor-made for each one of us. And lastly, what a privilege it is to be able to say, "Jesus shares my life, and his strength works with my weakness to perfectly balance the weight of everything I'm going through." And so we're going to finish by listening to the words of the song that I alluded to earlier. But while we're listening to it, I would encourage you to reach out to Christ, to offer him anything that you're struggling with, to sit in his presence, and then Don't be frightened by allowing him to put his yoke of togetherness around your shoulders. When everything's going wrong and you can't see how things are ever going to improve, he is there for you. When no one else seems near enough, he is there. Reach out and believe that he can really know and feel your every movement, no matter how small. When he says, "Share my yoke," he is thinking of you and you alone.